Are you, what is there at Applebee's for you, Jessica?
My friend Jackie and Jocelyn are like, what are we doing tonight? And I'm like, I don't know. Let's do something fun. And then they're like, we're hungry. And I'm like, oh, I just ate the foot. And they're like, let's go to Applebee's. I'm like, okay, I'll go to Applebee's. And that's how I'm going to Applebee's after this.
I probably haven't been to Applebee's since like 1996. I don't even know. I remember getting like a cheese quesadilla there as like a kid and having a great time, but I was a child. Were you alive in 1996, Jess?
No. I was not.
That's weird. That's kind of weird to conceptualize, actually. I was eating a quesadilla and you literally did not exist. That's like some bizarre, like quantum butterfly effect. Like,
because you ate that quesadilla at Applebee's, I came to fruition the next year.
I don't want to think of the series of events that quesadilla set in motion then. I feel like J. Robert Oppenheimer, I've invented the atomic bomb, dude. It was the Huirache quesadilla.
That is how my, that's my birth origin story. It all started with a quesadilla from Applebee's.
Right. Yeah, that's your superhero origin story, yeah. Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the first Teach4X Network podcast of the new year, 2023. Great to see you. Great to be here with you. With us, as always, Eric Johnson and Jessica Wivache. Teach4X is the on-demand educator development service that's focused on the four pillars of technology, curriculum, community, and leadership, all parts of what make a teacher's job so great. So today we're going to be talking about some of the New Year's resolutions that we have come up with for our teaching practice. The new year is always a great time to not only reflect on what you've done, but maybe try something a little new. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. New Year's resolutions, do you usually do New Year, like other New Year's resolutions, Johnson? Are you like just in your life? Like, do you pledge you're going to take your bird for a walk more or something? Or
no, I really don't. To me, it's weird. New Year's doesn't mean much to me. At this point, I've been teaching long enough that to me, the year changes when it's a new school year. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. So everybody else is kind of thinking about January as this big gear shift. And I just don't see it that way. For me, it's always September because that's when there's new students and new colleague or two. That to me is like a bigger life marker at this point, which is maybe sad. I'm not sure. But yeah, New Year's, I went to bed. I watched a couple episodes of Scooby-Doo and went to bed. So So that's me. I don't know. Do either of you guys do resolutions stuff?
I don't because I never keep them. So I just kind of gave up, you know, that whole practice. But I'm not as fun and exciting as, you know, Miss Huirache is. So I'm sure she's got something.
I do, actually. Like, me and my friends, so me and my two best friends, we ended up doing, like, a New Year's resolution girls' night, where we ordered a bunch of cheeses and charcuterie stuff and wines, and we had a cute little evening, and we all, like, got our little iPad planners, and we wrote down our New Year's resolution goals, and we've been, and we, like, broke them down, and kind of like made steps for ourselves and like goals and stuff. And we've been kind of keeping each other accountable. Like, we'll text the group chat, like, how are we doing with our goals, ladies? Like, let's do a check-in. So we've been doing that like weekly since the new year, which is like 3 weeks now, I guess, like two and a half. Right. And so I actually checked in with them today and I was like, okay, how are we doing with our goals, ladies? And so we kind of did like a little cute little check-in and I was like, oh, well, I'm keeping up with my gym goal. Like, I've gone to the gym every single day since the new year started, but I haven't been keeping up with like my reading or like my little personal trainer course that I wanted to do. And so then we kind of like just talk about it a little bit in the group chat, but that's what we've been doing. And it's so cute and it's nice. And so far I've been doing pretty decent on my goals.
Great. Good for you. Wow.
That's really lovely.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, so we're planning on like a quarterly night check-in where like every 3 months we do the girly wine night thing again and recheck in with our goals and see how we're doing in progress. So that's our little thing spiel that we've been working on.
It sounds like you're hashtag girl bosses.
Yeah, super girl bossing.
Wow. You know what? A lot of the like the crusty productivity dudes that I watch on the internet, instead of doing resolutions, they do themes. So they talk about themes for the year. So because FIRE, they run into that situation where they don't have the group of gals to get some Cheez-Its and wine and sort of hash it out. So instead, because they feel like they fail resolutions or resolutions are hard to keep to, they'll set a theme. So like the theme of the year might be family, or the theme of the year might be changing gears at work. And so they have these broad sort of scopes. They outline some ideas, things they want to work on within those themes, but they don't have like an endpoint. They don't have a fail state. It's just something they try to be more mindful of in an upcoming year, which I think that is really cool.
Yeah, that sounds a little more attractive to me. That's a little more, yeah, the Miss H is just so much more a taskmaster, and God bless you. You've got your iPad, you've got your lists, and that's great. But yeah, that's interesting. And that's great for just for us to share and reflect on that. These are both ways to, you know, reflect and improve on who you are so you can be the best version of yourself. If you're going to have kind of your daily checklist, or if you have these larger, broader concepts that you're trying to work on, as long as you're working to better yourself, that's what we, you know, that's always an important part. And especially when what we do with our teaching practice. So New Year's resolutions for our teaching practice. So when it comes to teaching, Mr. Johnson, what is your, or Professor Johnson, I don't know what I'm supposed to refer to you as now.
So for, just for some context, for the folks out there listening, you know, I'm teaching a graduate course now, which has been monumental. It's been incredibly exciting. It's really got me to reevaluate and reflect on my practice. To me, it's interesting, like each class session, they're 3 hours once a week. It almost feels like a date. They fly by super fast. There's so much that we discuss and cover. And afterwards, my mind is like racing. I'm thinking about all the stuff that I didn't share and want to share with the students next time. And the implications for what we discussed on my experiences and in my teaching practice. A lot of the students in my course are on the cusp of student teaching. So I feel like a really weighty sense of responsibility to try to share everything I possibly can before they embark on that journey. So it's been like immensely meaningful. It's been really, really cool. But it was sort of a nice buzz the first time somebody wrote me an email, Professor Johnson. I was like, yeah, all right. So that was really cool.
Nice. You've arrived.
I have arrived. But my, you know, so in terms of like teacher New Year's resolution, I was mulling this over a lot. And there's, of course, always things in our practice and what we do as teachers that we can improve. That we're sort of always on this like hamster wheel of trying to adjust and fix stuff and grow and adapt. But we recently had one of our normal like Thursday grade level team meetings, which I sort of trudged into with the usual sense of dread that accompanies attending a meeting. And it had been last week, and just coming back from break was, I found, really hard. I went back really invigorated, and then just a few days in, I think my students and myself were all on death's door. But Thursday, we had this grade level team meeting, and lo and behold, one of the presenters was our dear, Jessica Widace, and Jess spoke about reaching ELL students and understanding the ELL benchmark test scores, and gave some tips and ideas on how to help these kids out, and some really cool tools on how to keep track of those students, like digital notebooks with can-do statements. And I realized, although I feel like I do a really good job meeting with students that are struggling, whether they're ELL or have an IEP or a 504 or just a tough time, I don't feel I've been cognizant enough of my students that are ELLs. And we've been doing speeches all this week about our identity as students. And I had a few kids transfer into my classes that are like very ELL. And so I was working a lot with them one-on-one and just really reflecting between Jess's presentation and these students that I've now met and been working with on like how hard it's got to be an ELL student, and just reflecting on the language I use on my assignments. And like, I don't know, I was getting like really deep into it. And so my goal this year, my theme this year as a teacher is I want to do a better job being cognizant of those ELL students. And this is why actually today in this podcast, I'm rolling up with a plea for Ms. Widace, who did a stellar job running this meeting. In fact, we should shout out, there was somebody from the network of our school district lurking at the meeting observing, and she was so impressed with Jessica's presentation when we were leaving. What did she say, Jess? Like, who is that young woman? I want her to run the district. She said some very kind thing.
No, it wasn't that. I mean, I'm too young to run the district, but maybe we'll see in a couple of years. But I think my coworker, one of our coworkers, Polly, she stayed behind because me and Eric kind of just like zipped out of the meeting.
Gotta get out of the meeting.
Yeah. So then she came up to me after, is like, oh, when you left, the person from the network was so impressed with how young you are and how knowledgeable you were during your little presentation, and how, like, just she was really impressed with the way that I presented the information on the EL students, which is funny because I kind of just, like, was talking as if it was just a normal conversation. I wasn't really, like, paying attention to her being in the background, which I thought was really cool. You know, like, it's very nice to be acknowledged when you do something correct at the school, you know.
On the flip side, Jess, you know, I did want to say it was nice that she said that, but since then you have changed, and I'd like you to stop telling me to make the coffee for you. All right. Just because somebody from the network said a nice thing doesn't mean.
Oh, yeah. I've been definitely rubbing it in our other, you know, well-known coworker's face that I got a compliment from the network. And, you know, I keep telling him about it. And he's like, stop. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm too good.
But I was hoping, Jess, today you could share, like, do you have, like, suggestions on first steps? Like, beyond a renewed mindfulness, like, what do I do next? How do you recommend, as, you know, someone that is sort of a subject matter expert in this area and as someone that works with the bilingual students, like, what's my first step? Again, I think I've been doing a good job connecting with students individually, but to be more mindful of their needs, what do I do?
So I think, like, one of the biggest things that people kind of forget about, I guess, in total, I actually was having this conversation with one of our colleagues about, you know, just some of those, like, small things you can do that actually make a big difference. We were having this conversation while we had her cat over at my apartment. We were trying to wrangle the cat, which is funny because this is also the time that we were talking about, you know, strategies for the classroom, right? I think one of the biggest things that people forget is, like, the little things, like the vocabulary that you are going to be using in the unit. Like, every unit, I start my kids off with, like, a huge vocabulary list of things that we will encounter in the unit that, like, you would think, like, oh, like, that's just something that they know. But it's, like, with our students who are English language learners, like, yes, they may have heard, like, this word randomly at some point in time, but they can't make that context or connection in terms of, like, what we're trying to teach them. So, like, even words like dominant, I put on the vocab list. So this unit, we're talking all about, like, race and power. So, like, dominant groups, dominant is a vocab word, you know, hierarchy, like, they may have a concept of what that means, but they're not gonna, like, be able to apply it to the content if I don't teach it to them, you know? And so I always do, like, a huge vocab list, and we go over the vocab. And then whenever we are, like, doing documents and stuff like that, like, when I'm very much introducing them to new concepts, I'll read it out loud to them. Like, I read everything that I give them out loud to them at least once. And then we go over some maybe, like, words that, like, are on our vocab list or words that are not on our vocab list that are kind of hard. And then we highlight, circle, underline, whatever, and then look up the definition as a class, because they may understand the document, but sometimes without those words or that language acquisition, can't really understand the whole meaning of it without it. So that's, like, little things that people forget to do, you know?
That's really helpful. I tend to create assignments and write them as if they're technical manuals. And so I think need to, even just the beyond the vocab that shows up in the unit, like dominant or hierarchy, I think I even need to make sure that the instructions and the structure of the assignments I provide are maybe more succinct and clear for those students. And then my follow-up is, like, a mini case study before we talk about some of our other teacher resolutions. This week, again, we were doing these speeches, like SEL speeches, about their identity as students. And I have three students that are, like, very, very ELL. One I've worked with all year, two are new. And understandably, they were very nervous about giving these speeches. And I worked a lot with them one-on-one. I know one of the guys, actually, I didn't know this, he sought support from one of our other colleagues. The colleague who rescued you when you spilled water all over yourself, Jess, and gave you her address.
Yeah, I was actually there because after we had just talked about that student, he was there. And I'm like, we were just talking about it. He's like, oh, Miss Vidaje, I need to find Miss Blank. And I was like, oh, she's right over there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, as I worked with them, my line was basically like, I really would challenge you to give the speech. I know it's scary and I know it is not going to be easy for you, but I think it would be very a meaningful experience and you'll be really proud if you're done. But day of, you know, if you decide not to, it is no big deal. You can submit it. I'm not going to make you speak it. And the guy that was seeking extra help, he gave his speech and it was really good. And I think it was really meaningful for the students in the class to hear his perspective. It was like an emotional moment for me, actually, because he talked about his transition as a student coming from Guatemala to the United States and how hard it's been and how disconnected he's felt. And students were sitting in class, like, nodding, and like a whole other world of the school and experiences was coming to these kids. So it was really awesome. I got another kid. She's not sure if she wants to do hers Tuesday or not. And I was wondering, Jess, like, how far would you push these students? How I handle that the right way, where it's just like, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, don't. Would you push them harder to challenge themselves? Where do you land on that? Because I was struggling with that.
So I actually recently made them do presentations as well. And I had two students that came from my, which is very like, I guess, similar situation. Two students who came from my Spanish speaking class to my mostly English speaking sheltered class. And so they're very much more comfortable in Spanish. And sometimes I do give them the leeway, like, okay, just do it in Spanish. But then like, I need you to do like this in English. So I'll give them here and there, you know, their comfort zone. But then I expect them, when I give them that like leniency, to move out of their comfort zone. So I had this student who was coming from the Spanish speaking class and he didn't want to present. He's like, I don't want to present, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to present in English. I don't want to do it. And I was like, okay. And I sat down with him and I really just asked him why. What is scaring you about presenting? Like, you did the presentation. It's really good. I know it's really good because you did all the requirements. He's like, well, I'm scared that the other students are going to make fun of my accent. They're going to not understand me and I'm going to forget the words in English. And I'm like, okay, that's valid and that's okay, but this is our place to learn. Like, that is why we come here. And everybody in this class knows that. And they know that if they dared to interrupt the learning process and point out one of your mistakes, I would get on them. And you know this too. And he's like, you're right. Like, no one's gonna say anything or make fun of me or anything like that because they know Miss H will fight them. Like, yeah. they all kind of have this understanding that, like, this is where we make mistakes and sometimes our accents come out and sometimes this. And so I think maybe sitting down and talking to the student and asking them where their fear is coming from.
That's good.
Help with alleviating some of that stress and anxiety. Because once I told them, I'm like, well, you know that if anyone even dared to look at you the wrong way while you were doing this presentation, I would say something and I got your back. And this is where we're going to learn how to do all these things. It kind of gave him the motivation and like, okay, well, I feel better. And he did it. And he did it well, you know? So yeah. I'm like, it all comes down to pushing them and just reassuring them that they got this, you know? Like giving their fear, listening to their fears and anxieties and kind of reminding them like, hey, this is the place that we are meant to express those fears and anxieties, but still push through, you know?
That's really powerful, Jess. I appreciate that. And I think that'll be really helpful.
Yeah. It definitely helped. He was very nervous, but then I reminded him that I would fight any child who dared interrupt our learning process. And he's like, you're right. So let me just do it. And so he did.
That's awesome. And Fire, I know you've got like a lot on your plate these days and some very meaningful stuff that I think it would be good for you to mention again for those that maybe missed last episode, because it's been a monumental time in the life of Scott FireEyes. And I'm wondering if
it's been monumental. It's been monumental. It's been all of the above. Yes, my wife and I welcomed our first child, our son, Jack Theodore JT FireEyes, and he arrived last Friday, January 6th.
Wow.
So that's been very exciting for us. Of course, my son was discharged Monday night. My wife didn't get discharged from the hospital until that Wednesday night. So as Miss H likes to say, that this is a space for us to make mistakes and learn. I made some early parenting mistakes and I learned, and my little guy was very, very understanding. So it's been quite an experience. I am very excited. It's been better than expected. So I'm looking forward to actually us hanging out, watching some football after the podcast. So that's going to be fun.
That's amazing. Has it impacted the way you're thinking about your teaching at all? Has that framed your teacher New Year resolution?
Yeah, I think more and more I've been thinking about this. And then now it's just been kind of re-emphasized with having not my own child, but just, it might sound weird coming from teachers, but it's not my responsibility to change our students. Like, there's no real way to do that. And that, you know, having that attitude is how you end up being burnt out, because the kids are going to do what they're going to do. They are who they are. And, you know, my job or my responsibility is to help them and guide them and support them. And of course, they're going to do things that I hate and I'm disappointed in and behave in a way that I don't want. But at the same time, if I can't ride everybody and change these kids into who I want them to be. And then in that way, it's almost like one of those kind of odd counterintuitive things where, you know, the more you let them be who they are and support them, then the more they come to you. Then it's kind of like you're giving them their space and they feel comfortable with you. And then they're going to come to you when you know, whatever, when it does get serious, or when it, you know, when you do want them to change a behavior. So that's something that I've been thinking about. It's, you know, it's really tough as a teacher. I think it's something that we don't talk enough about, is how we see these countless behaviors or these things that we don't want to see, but you have to some degree kind of eat that, like, because you can't, you know, it's just, you're gonna end up throwing everybody out of class. The admin is gonna hate you because you're driving everybody crazy, and then you're gonna be burnt out and probably quit. So like, why even, you know? So then let's understand that that's the path that you would be going down, and let's, you know, understand that these are the kids that we have, and you want to be structured and organized, and all that is going to help the learning, but you're not going to change that, you know, you're not going to take that kid and change him into, you know, the 4.0 valedictorian that, or you might, and then, you know, good luck doing that next year. So
yeah,
and then good luck doing it the year after, or the class after, or, you know, so finding that way to be a positive, constant influence for all the students.
Well, it's interesting, Scott. I think our resolutions, our themes here are kind of similar. It's sort of this idea of meeting students where they're at and challenging and pushing them a little bit, but also understanding they are unique individuals with agency and autonomy. And you know, I don't know, we're just there to help and support. I think that's really cool. Have you thought of any like direct strategies or lessons or anything you'll do differently in terms of your teaching, or just making yourself sort of maybe more open to the students? You know, I think you've got a really big theme here, and I was wondering if there's like something specific you'll do different, or just sort of work on, you know, build this into the tone of how you interact with the students in class.
Yeah, I think it's just more the latter, just important for me and my mindset. So not necessarily any lessons I'm going to do or anything, but just, you know, when I see someone off task, you know, reminding, okay, just take a deep breath, and just, why don't we just walk over and kind of look at them and tap the desk instead of, you know, having an attitude and getting all huffy about it. And, you know, that's not good for anybody. So, you know, just trying to find those ways that are as close to like win-win as we could possibly think. Like, what, okay, what's going to get this kid back on track, but what's also going to keep my blood pressure within a range that is acceptable for the rest of the day? So I would say that, yeah, no specific lessons beyond just, you know, the beginning of the year stuff, really just re-emphasizing routines and procedures that you have, because that I think goes a long way. And then just having those little interactions, the kid that is absent all the time, at least they, when they sign the notebook, you can at least stand there and be like, what are you doing, man? Why are you absent all the time? You know, what are you?
Yeah.
And then at least you can create that, you know, a path to have that conversation, and you could keep the organized environment that you want.
Do you find, Scott, since having Jack, your perspective on the place that work holds in your life has changed? Because I know for me, it's not quite as, it's different, but like when I got engaged and then got married to Sydney, like I felt, I don't know, work suddenly like dropped a few rungs. And actually I found that really helpful for me, because that was during, you know, when we got engaged, that was during a really challenging school year. And like, I got like a renewed perspective, like this teaching thing maybe is not as important as I'm making it out to be. Do you feel anything like that? Have you had any shift in perception about work after having Jack?
Not yet, but I'm still riding the high of my new role too, being athletic director. So my first day back, I forgot that there was a girls basketball game and I was going to have to stay till 8:30 at night. So it's already kind of like, oh, forgot about that part. But no, it's been okay. You know, I am aware of, as he gets older, you know, if it comes between my job responsibilities of going to the high school game or seeing one of his games, you know, that's something I'm going to have to kind of think about, as far as, you know, where all of this fits, you know, what my priorities are in life. Yeah, I haven't changed too much. I would say more what's changed is just as you mature and, you know, getting married and just growing older, your perspective changes.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's necessarily been his birth, but just my years of experience have, my priorities have evolved, I would say.
Sure. What do you got cooking on, Jess? What are you thinking in the teacher new year? What's on your plate? What are you thinking about?
I feel like whenever like I start feeling a little burnt out, I just give a lot of like individual work, and I want to stop doing that, because even if I'm burnt out, like the group work idea and like how it, like, I guess yes, it is a lot of work on my part to get like group work going and stuff like that, but it's so much more meaningful. Like I have this like activity that I've been doing for the past 3 years, actually, to the point where I kept forgetting to change like a from the date on it. It's like a post-winter break activity, and it's like just questions for the kids and stuff. And like one of the questions, like, what are you looking forward to in the year 2020? So that just means that I created this in 2019, and for the past 3 years have forgotten to change it from 2020 to now 2023.
Yeah.
So I've been using the same activity where it's just like a little winter break post chat where kids are to work in partners and kind of interview each other about their winter breaks. And it's like 17 questions, and they just got to write down whatever answer that they give them. And like, I feel like when I was a younger little teacher, I just kind of threw that out the window and was like, just do it yourself. Just write down your answers to the questions. And then my second year, I was like, okay, well, talk to a partner if you want to, right? And then now that I feel like I'm more confident in my practice and just more confident in my classroom management, I was like, oh heck no, y'all are gonna talk to each other, turn to the person next to you. If you do not have a partner, I will find one for you. I felt like the attorney lawyer, the Miranda rights in Law and Order. If you do not have a lawyer, one will be appointed to you. Like, that's what I felt like. I was like, do not fret, like, I will find you a partner. To the point where even one kid in my class, like, it was for some odd reason uneven, and the kid was just sitting in the corner. Our little mutual kid, Johnson. And I had him interview, we like interviewed each other. So I'm like, no, you're gonna do partner work today. And if it's gotta be me, it's gotta be me. And so it actually was so nice and valuable. And the kids were actually like so like into it, and like just seeing them talk and communicate to each other, I'm like, this is so cute. Like, this is adorable. Like, we must do more of this. So yeah. I think that really kickstarted off that resolution. Like, I got to get them talking to each other more. Because even one kid where I told you, they decided to switch papers and just write each other's answers on their little papers. And I caught them and I was like, oh, heck no. And I looked at them and I'm just staring at them like this, like, are you for real right now? Till they slowly like switched back papers, and then they're like talking to each other. But then they started joking with each other about like their like answers, and then they started showing each other stuff on their phones and smiling and laughing, which would not have happened if I didn't just like force them to do stuff. So I'm like, okay, I have to force them to talk to each other, because this is so valuable right now.
That's A, lovely, and B, there was a brief moment, Jess, where you did your teacher voice, and I, as always, I got scared. I don't know what it's like. I are, if your students are like constantly in fear, if they're like, I feel like they're just like generic, like in the Batman movies, they're like the random little criminals and you're Batman, you know, and like you walk by, it's like in the Batman video game Arkham Asylum, like you walk by their desk and they're like, hey, it's the Bat, and they're like all shaking and hiding. Because I was listening to Jess teach the other day. My students were quiet. We had finished, some kids had given their speeches. Nobody else was prepared. So we're just chilling. And I hear this like screaming. And I thought someone was in danger at first. And I'm like listening. And it's just Jess screaming about like race and power. And she's like, the five principles of power. And she's just like yelling at her kids. And I didn't know if someone was in trouble. And I was like, nah, Jess is just going hard in the paint, dude. She did teaching really hard. So I don't know. Like, you know, that tale of the kids like becoming best friends is beautiful, but I worry they were under duress.
They trauma bonded.
Yeah, they trauma bonded.
Right.
Somebody's trauma bonded. They're like, that was scary.
We'll like walk by to observe Jess's class, and they'll be interviewing each other, but one of them is blinking help me in Morse code.
It's like a hostage situation, right?
My favorite is when I like move their desks while they're sitting in it, when they're like doing something they're not supposed to. I'll just like grab the desk and like move them over, and they're just looking at me like, this woman is She-Hulk right now, and I am scared. But it's always in good fun. Like, I always like, I think they know when I'm like really like upset with them and when I'm just like being crazy Miss H, you know?
Yeah.
And so like whenever I'm doing like lectures like that, and we're talking about like the five principles of power, I always make it a point of being as loud and like up in their face about it. Cause like, I think I mentioned it in some podcasts that we did already, I'm fighting versus their phone. And honestly, them TikToks are a lot more entertaining than I am sometimes. So I gotta be twice as entertaining. And so I think it works. I hardly ever have to like, when I'm actually speaking, like have to like tell anyone to put their phone away, because they're always like in constant, yeah, like, what is this lady gonna do next?
They look like a cat at like a laser show. Just
They're like, and I'm like bouncing around the room too. I'm not just standing up there. I'm like moving around. I'm like in some kid's ear, like talking about race. And they're just like looking around. That's why I never have to, like, that mutual kid in your ninth period, the one that I'm always goofing about. I never have to tell him to put his phone away, because all I gotta do is just be like, excuse me, sir. And he's like,
well, you gotta tell him to come to my class.
Yeah, he doesn't come to my class that much either anymore.
Okay. Okay.
I think he's just not coming to school.
Well, we can figure that out in the office then.
Yeah, right.
Well, that all sounds really good. I feel invigorated after hearing these.
We got it all figured out for 2023, I think we're in good shape.
Now what we got to do is, on the cusp of 2024, listen back to this and then report back to the community and see if we achieve these things. Really, that's hold ourselves right. accountable.
Right.
Yeah.
Should I set a reminder now? Should I tell Siri to say that?
So we on December
31st. December. Well, let's do December 1st so we can plan and do the podcast, right?
Yeah, that'll be a fun podcast episode. We'll look back and I'll be like, I can't believe I said I was just going to appreciate the kids. I can't believe.
Especially at the start of December on the cusp of winter break. That'll be rough. Right, all right, let's tell Siri. Hey, Siri.
Wait, we're going
to
like clip
remind
it.
Me on December 1st. To refer back to the Teacher Resolution podcast for the next teacher podcast. All right, we got it. The reminder has been set.
Sweet.
Yes. We should like clip it so we can like look back at the clip. And then like, I'm still thinking Jersey Shore right now. Like, I love when they do that. They like clip back to the
reaction shots.
Yes. So
then we can watch.
I love that. We should do that. We should actually just become Jersey Shore. But yeah, thanks for listening. Please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would like to get in touch or ask us a question, you could do so via Spotify or shoot us an email at teach4xcontact@gmail.com. You can also find us everywhere on the web and support us on Patreon by visiting www.teach4x.com. Yay!
All right, everybody. Well, I hope your 2023 is off to a great start. We will check in with you in the coming weeks. Have a great January. See you later.
Jess, did you end it so abruptly because you have to go to Applebee's right now?
Maybe. I'm looking at the clock like my 2 for $24 meal.
Yeah, there you go. The bottomless apps are going to run out or whatever.
Go away, get a quesadilla or some breadsticks or whatever they serve.
The quesadilla that actually kick-started my birth.
Yeah.
Yep.